Hello there, and welcome to Fascinating People, brought to you by 99.3 Moose FM, West Nipissing's best music. Hopefully you're having yourself a wonderful day so far, and let's get right into the subject today, Miss Lana Stevens. If you don't know, Fascinating People is about bringing people from the community or people that have impacted the community and finding out what makes them so interesting, what makes us want to talk to them, because it is the belief of this program that everybody is fascinating. They just have to tell you why. And Lana came here from Toronto after growing up in the small town to build her own business. So we talk about the steps that took her away from the small town, that brought her back, what it took to actually build her business, why she chose the industry that she did. And she also wishes to share a few tips for those that wish to create their own business. And all around, we get to know a little bit more about Lana, which is the whole idea. Now, if you know somebody that fits the bill, that would be a perfect subject for this show, I'd like you to send me an email, drew@moosefm.com. It can be yourself. If you think that you'd be a perfect fit for this program, send me a message. We'll be glad to talk. But for today, I'd like for you to join me in welcoming Miss Lana Stevens.
Hello, my name is Lana Stevens, and I am the owner of the boutique in Sturgeon Falls called Bow and Arrow.
And you grew up here, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't, actually.
Oh.
No, my family, my mother is from Cache Bay. She was raised in Cache Bay, and my father is he's a band member of Nipissing First Nations, so they grew up here. But we spent a lot of time in the community growing up, so a lot of people think that we lived here. But we actually were raised in Elliott Lake, Ontario.
Oh, okay, but what drew you to the community then?
Our grandparents were here, and our aunts and uncles, our extended family. And growing up, my father worked for Ontario Hydro for about 11 years, and he was on the road building hydro lines in the south, Toronto, Kingston, Windsor, London. And he would come home on weekends, but instead of going all the way to Elliott Lake, we would meet him here on weekends and, you know, in the summer too. So we spent a lot of time in the community. So a lot of people think that we went to school here and we lived here.
Just because your face was all around and it just popped up here and there. It's like, you're from here.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of the thing with the community, because you had left and returned.
Yes.
I mean, you were in Elliott Lake, of course, but
yeah,
you had come back. What was it like to return to West Nipissing?
You know what? It was great. It was great because it was time for me to return. I was in Toronto for 16 years, living and working and in retail, mm-hmm. most of my time there, retail management. And probably 10 years ago, if you told me that I would, live in Sturgeon and be happy and balanced, and I would say, no way, no way. But 5 years ago, I decided to come home because I was pregnant.
Oh, so let's cut back for a little bit and kind of build our story towards that moment.
Yeah.
So you were born in Elliott Lake. You went to school there as well?
We weren't born in, oh, sorry, I wasn't born in Elliott Lake.
Holy jumpers, you're all over the place.
Yeah, well, I always say we because of my sisters. But
how many sisters do you have?
I have three sisters, but I'm a triplet. So
holy jumpers.
Yes, I'm an identical triplet. So I have this weird way of talking that I always say we when I talk because literally I shared my life with two other sisters, plus an older sister and older brother. But, I have a unique relationship with my triplet sisters. So there's a lot of we that comes out of my mouth. Sorry.
No worries. Okay, so let's go through it. So you have, who's the oldest? Is it your brother or your sister?
My brother.
So
my brother Troy.
So your brother Troy, when was he born?
His birthday was yesterday and he's 51.
Okay, so then it was...
And then about 3 years later, it was my sister, Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 3.5 years later, it was all three of us.
So what was that like growing up then?
It was awesome. It was awesome. We had such a great childhood that at this point in our life, we're at that point where the time that we spent together as kids growing up, we don't have that time together anymore because we've got jobs, we've got husbands, we've got children. And I think that our goal in our later years is to try to find a way to see each other a little bit more and spend some time together. So this business is basically, that's the reason why I started this business, is so that eventually we can see each other every day and work together.
And has that succeeded?
Well, almost. Almost. I'm running the business full time right now. My sisters are still working, and my sister Leslie is in Cambridge right now. But she's going to make the move probably in the next couple of years. So hopefully, in about 3 to 5 years, we'll be together. And if the business grows the way that I think it will, we can work together every day.
Well, there you go. And that's the dream, isn't it? When you're close with your siblings and being able to work, because they can take the abuse.
Totally.
I have a younger sister, and that's how she very much describes our upbringing, was like friendly abuse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you grew up in this family of, I can't even do math, 7 people,
yes,
including your mother and father.
Yes.
Everything from your end seems to have sounded well.
Yes.
So then what happened a little bit later in like the teenage years? Did you start to kind of figure out who you were and what you wanted to do?
No, we were still having fun. I think probably in my 20s is when I moved out and moved to Toronto. I think that's where I got to know me. I wasn't part of the three for the first time in my life. I was Lana,
mm-hmm,
and nobody actually knew. Right. So it was nice. It was nice. I think I needed that time to kind of grow and find my passion and, live in a big city and do everything on my own. And
so was it just something completely different? That's why you moved to Toronto, just like a big city by myself. I just need something new. Or what was the reason you went there?
I think I decided that I wanted to move to Toronto on our grade 8 Toronto trip. Honestly, we were living in Elliott Lake, the excitement of Toronto. And actually, when we stayed at York University,
mm-hmm,
and I end up getting my own room.
Okay.
You're right. And I just loved it. I just loved everything about it. It was so exciting and it was so different. And I knew that I was going to be there one day. So when I was ready, I had some friends that lived there. So I just said, okay, I'm going. That's how I started, really.
So you get some friends, you move in with your friends to start off.
Yep.
And what was your goal there? To find work, go to school?
I wanted to take a couple of years to see if what I wanted to do, but I end up just falling into retail really quickly. I was hired at a record store.
Mm. They still exist, I promise.
They do. Back in the day.
You just have this look on your face like, don't think I'm old, please.
Do we need to explain what a record store is?
If you haven't listened to record, go to your grandfather. Ask him what record to listen to, and you'll discover a whole new sound of music.
Yeah, I think I just gave up my age there. but yeah, and within 3 months of working part-time in this record store, just figuring out what I wanted to do, I was taking a business course part-time in the evenings, they gave me a store to run within 3 months. They didn't think I was young as I was, and it was too late to
sign the contract.
Yeah, they promoted me and gave me a store, and it just kind of grew from there, and I did very well. Most of my retail experience is with clothing and furniture,
mm-hmm,
and merchandising. So that role is just not only selling, it's you're responsible for what your store looks like at all times.
So creating something that your clients would enjoy.
Yes. And obviously I've worked for companies that there's some sort of structure in how you present collections and seasons and stuff like that. But then after you start selling things, you need to be creative and you know, use what you got and always freshening up things. And I was actually really good at it. So
not to toot my own horn,
right? But yeah, so I kind of that path kind of led me to a unique position in the retail industry. You know, I wasn't just selling.
You got to see the inner workings behind the curtain.
Yeah, absolutely. And being responsible for that, right? So, and I was up for the challenge and I really enjoyed it because creatively, you know, it's an outlet. It really is. And you know, having timelines and projects and really seeing things from, you know, like I opened several stores too. So
for this company?
For a company called Urban Barn.
Okay.
It's a Canadian furniture company
Okay.
that came across Canada, I guess I'd say about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. But so I opened 14 stores. So, you know, it's the floor planning, it's everything from scratch. So, it was a really good experience. And then with my clothing, my experience was with Banana Republic.
Oh, yeah. So you kind of jumped around. This is
yes.
Three different companies.
Yes. You know, like retail, it's, you know, everything's kind of, you can jump. You just jump from company to company. I actually stayed a little bit longer than most people, but like most of my core experience was with Pottery Barn, which is a furniture store.
Mm-hmm.
Urban Barn, which is the Canadian kind of version of Pottery Barn, and Banana Republic. With the clothing.
Those are the three you think like influenced you the most?
Absolutely. They're huge companies. They have got great training. They just know how to train you and they're successful. And I was just soaking everything in because I think in the back of my mind, I knew I could do, like I wanted to do this and I could do this on my own one day.
Okay. So when did that kind of happen? So you're working with these three companies and you're mm-hmm. kind of learning the inner workings. What was that moment where it's like, I want to do something that I create, not based off of somebody else's template?
I think once I got really confident in what I was doing, I would work really, really, really hard because it was 60, 70 hours a week, overnights. Just it's this weird industry. Very exciting though. But sometimes after, you know, like a big season change, you know, when the fall stuff came in or whatever, and there was a big corporate visit, I would kind of stand back and go, yeah, I can do this for myself.
I don't need these many suits.
No. Yeah. So, and, you know, that whole being my own boss and not having to answer to anyone kind of, you know, when you're younger, you're just like, maybe I can do this on my own and not have to answer to anyone. In a way. Right.
So was it around this time that you met the father of your child?
No.
When did that occur?
That was a little later. I'm actually not with...
not with that gentleman anymore?
No. Probably the biggest relationship I've had that actually helped me where I am today. I dated someone for about 13 years, and he's super talented. We're really good friends. His name is Ilich Mejia. And he was the art director for Roots for about 15 years. And he was he's just so full of talent and inspiration. And he's a hard worker and he's very, you know, he's just so talented in every aspect in his life. So having him in my life at that time when I was, you know, I met him when I was about 23 till about 30, like, you know, in my mid 30s, we were together. I think he really nurtured my confidence because, you know, I am in a big city. I'm from a small town. You know, I have dreams, but he grew up in Toronto. He
knew the landscape.
Yeah. And he knew what he wanted and he worked really hard and he was self-taught. Everything, like photography, he went to school, but he whatever he wanted, he wasn't afraid to learn and to make mistakes. So I think, you know, him being in my life, I think kind of molded me into the person that I am today, for sure. Yeah.
He sounds like a fascinating... I'm going to have to get him on another episode.
Yeah, he's super cool. he's really cool.
So his job was more like kind of like the imaging to see how Roots was looking, or...
He did everything. He had a background in design, I guess, the... Graphic design. Yes, graphic design. And then he actually just kind of moved into taking pictures. So he's a really good photographer. When I did my grand opening for my fall winter campaign, he designed my logo as well. So he's in my life even now, really helping me with my branding and, just making my business look a little bit more...
maybe experienced
fashion.
Or
yeah, kind of
professional.
Like professional.
That's
yes.
the word.
Yes. Yes.
So let's talk about that grand opening for a second, because that was fairly recent. How long have you guys been open now?
We've been open since December 7th.
I thought so. Yeah. It hasn't even been a full year yet.
No.
So what kind of drove you? So you said this gentleman and this career path kind of told you, like, I want to open my own store. Mm-hmm. What drove you to a boutique?
Okay, so I finished having my baby, and you have a little bit of time to think, okay, I have a break. I have been working nonstop since 19, right? 1920. What's next? I don't think I would have been happy being a stay-at-home mom because I've got lots of energy. So I'm in Sturgeon. In Northern Ontario, there isn't a lot of options for work, and I'm actually not even bilingual, right? And to be a part of this community, that's an asset. So I was just kind of saying, okay, what should I do? And I actually started the business. I started out with accessories. So I opened my business, I got my, my name, and the easiest thing to do was to get accounts for accessories, necklaces, scarves, handbags, bracelets. And I would go to vendor shows and set up there. And it was part-time. Also did a couple of pop-ups here in Sturgeon at the Comfort Inn. And, just kind of eased into it. I didn't have like this big, like, oh, my dream. And, I'm just going to go for it. It was,
because I'm imagining
gradual.
You with your floor plan, like I've got a building. I'm going to put the hats here. I'm going to put the dresses here. But you just slowly decided like, this seems to be working.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was fun. It was fun. And
is it still fun?
It is.
Okay, good.
I love going to work every day. I really do. And I love being a part of this community. I feel like this is my service to our community.
The one that kind of opened up for a hug, they brought you in, and now you're like, okay, let me pay you back for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's exactly how it happened. This community is really special, and they really cherish their small businesses. Like, look at Leisure Farms and the chip stands, and it's a proud community. Hey, even there was a shop back in the day, Robineau's.
I'm vaguely familiar with that one.
Oh. Robineau's, nobody has gotten over them closing. Okay.
So a few hearts broke as soon as you said the name.
Yes. The town hasn't gotten over it. And because, just with word of mouth and my ideas, I was talking to the community about it, and they would bring up back in the day there was shopping here, right? And it was so nice. There was clothing stores, there was a shoe store, and we're a proud community, and we want to look good, and we want to have those services. It's just we need more people to take the plunge and open, and really have ideas and roll with it. The good thing about this community too is I don't think that I could ever have this opportunity. It's a lot of risk. It probably in every other community to do this. If I were to open up a boutique in, Toronto or Guelph or whatever, that's a lot of risk. Even owning a building is a lot of the finances is just, it's so high. But in this community, it's not as bad. It really isn't. You can take chances. And, the real estate was good. The building that I bought was, I got a good deal. So that was incentive, right? I had to try. I was at that point in my life where I'm like, you know what? This could work. There's no shopping here. That's the one thing that I missed from Toronto when I moved here was the shopping and Starbucks.
We got one in North Bay. Now let's
see
if they can bleed a little
bit more. I'm so happy.
Bleed a little bit more.
Yes. I'm so happy we have one in North Bay. So now I can live here forever.
There you go. Checked.
Yes. It's my guilty pleasure. I run to North Bay a couple, you know, probably about four times a week just to go to Starbucks.
As soon as they deliver, all bets are off.
Yes.
So then with that in mind, if somebody had an idea in Sturgeon Falls, like, we don't have a blank, what would you say to them? Like, how would you help them kind of like, oh, you have this idea, here's what you should do to kind of push forward? Someone who's gone through that process before.
I've had a couple of conversations with, I think, you know, young people, I think it's changing. I really do feel that young people want to have their own businesses and try things. They don't want to have a regular job and, you know, go to work every day and not have something that means something to them. So for me, what helped me is, you know, you have to have the idea, but it's not set in stone. You know, have a good idea of what you like to do and then see.
Be flexible about it.
Be flexible, yes. You know, like even when I was deciding what, you know, what clothing or what I was going to sell, you know, it wasn't, okay, I'm going to sell this and, you know, this and this. You know, you just kind of, you got to feel it out, as well as there's a lot of support out there for business startup programs that a lot of people don't know about, that you have access to money in the form of grants. And I really tapped into that. There's in North Bay, the business center, Nipissing Parry Sound. It's right in the, it's at the City Hall on the sixth floor.
Oh.
They have a Starter Company Plus program, and that's probably where if things got serious, you
like
know?
This is actually something I'm doing.
Yeah, like I signed up and, you know, I have to show up and have to work on my business plan. It's, you know, a 7-week kind of program that they actually help you write your business plan so that you can get your thoughts on paper, because, you know, you do need a business plan if you want to really, and if you, especially if you want to go after some money, you know, grants and, you know, all that, you need a little bit of time to figure out, you know, this is to present what, you know, what you're thinking in your head, right? So they really helped me with that. And at the end of the program, you've got, you know, a good solid foundation of your business plan. And then you had an opportunity to apply for up to $5,000 to whatever you needed to start your business. So some people, you know, there was a client that she was a photographer. So she obviously asked, okay, I need a nice camera and I need, you know, a little bit of equipment and stuff. And I asked for like mannequins and shelving for the store. And it just so happens that when I was presenting that, Sears was closing. Okay.
So you just walked right in and like, what can I buy off of you?
Yes. So I had an amazing opportunity to buy mint condition fixtures and mannequins and stands and stuff for dirt cheap.
Oh, that really struck out.
With the money that I got from the Starter Company Plus program. Right. So that really helped. I'm going to say it was a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. You know, you just can't walk in there and say, oh, you know, give me $5,000. Right. I promise I will spend it wisely. There's steps and, you know, you just have to figure out what those steps are and walk through the door that they want you to walk through. And in the end, you'll get what you want.
Or at least you'll know what you want.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So that really helped, as well as just the general support of the people that are there. Like they, you know, they're well connected with little things that, you know, you might not. It was starting a business. You need to, there was a guest speaker almost every day that we went, and it would be like, okay, an insurance guy would come in and talk about business insurance. And then somebody else would come in and talk about marketing. And so there was a lot of information that you can get free and, you know, apply it to your needs, really, with your business. So it was a really good starting point for me. And then I applied for a small business grant/loan with Wabatec Business Development Corporation. And that's a business corporation that is available for Nipissing First Nation, well, First Nations individuals in the north.
Right. And due to your heritage, you what's the word I want? You not apply, but you would fit the bill.
Yes, I fit the profile, right? Yes. So, because I'm full status, same with all of my brothers and sisters and our children too. So there was a lot of there's a lot of opportunity there, and I tapped into that. It took me probably about a year to get through everything, and it really helped me launch the business the way that I wanted to launch it, in terms of how I saw it in my head. And I just wanted a very
personal,
professional
company.
Company, yes, yes. And I needed stock.
you need to get the ball rolling somehow.
Yes.
So I wanted to know, where does the name... I wanted to get the record clear, finally. I've had people come in here say both Bow and Arrow and Bow Plus Arrow. You're officially called Bow and Arrow, right?
Okay, my...
Oh, dear.
Well, it should be... Okay, so this is where Elitch comes into play and says it should be Bow Plus Arrow.
Okay.
for branding, but on paper, it's Bow and Arrow.
So both work?
Both work.
Okay.
I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I'm, you know... Being an identical triplet, too, I'm not, you know, strict on names. You can call me Tanya. You can call me Leslie. You can call me Triplet, Stevens, Girl. It's all good. It's all good.
So then, okay, so you opened up in December.
Yes.
You've got your family helping you out. You got your name settled.
Yeah.
So what do you see forthcoming? Your year anniversary comes up in a couple of months.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
So where do you find this business taking you?
I think I really want to tap into and really concentrate on online.
Yeah?
Yeah. Online, social media.
Do stuff online, maybe send to other places.
Yeah, yeah. Just to, you know, to balance out small town foot traffic, though I'm not complaining. There's people coming into my store every day. But it really interests me, I think, because I know the industry so well from a brick and mortar standpoint, that for me to grow as a business owner and to continue to be creative and really push my boundaries. By the way, this radio interview is really pushing me out of my comfort zone.
But that's the energy, right? The adrenaline, right, is learning something new and attempting something.
Yes, yes, yes. So I think, you know, creatively, I want to conquer that, and I want to get right in there. And I'm kind of self-taught too, in a way. I do have a website, and I'm the one that has put everything in, you know, the images and the descriptions and the layout and stuff like that. Like, it's taken me a long time because my learning curve is really bad, but, you know, I'm trying, and it really interests me. And I think that's something that I want to do for sure. And I think it's that with retail is, there's a shift right now, even with my research and the years that I've worked in retail. I think everybody sees this, but it's, you know, the big stores, the big box stores are no longer. People want more, they want a more intimate, personal, I care about my customers. I do. Like, I, you know, if they come to me and they're looking for something, I really want to help them. A customer yesterday, she was going to a wedding and she needed a dress, and I was on that mission with her, right? And just even talking about what she had at home and, you know, her shoes and stuff, so that she can, you know, she can arrive at this event and feel good about herself, right? And feel like she's got a good outfit. But retail, this whole boutique thing, it's actually taking off. It's, well, not even taking off. I think it's coming back. Mm. And they want something unique, and they want, I don't know, it's this, I think they just want to feel cared for, really, in what, and not just a number standing in this big line. Though there is, you know, the industry is split too, where, you know, there is people shopping for, you know, the basics and ordering online or going to Costco, and that's okay too. But there is a market for a more personable experience, a shopping experience.
Not everybody just wants to look at a computer screen to order. They want to talk to somebody
right.
and kind of gain a story out of it.
Right, and visit. Like, I get visitors all the time.
Just people curious to see what the heck is going on here.
Right, and just somewhere to go. Somewhere to go on a Saturday morning, right? You go to Twigs, and then you go to Bow and Arrow.
Or Bow Plus Arrow.
Bow Plus Arrow.
Both work. So I guess then to wrap us up, come find you, you're at Main Street, right?
Main Street, yes. 170 Main Street. My hours currently are Tuesday to Saturday, 10 to 6. There's a lot of people that miss my shop. They drive right by it a couple times because it's actually a home. It's a century home. It's a big square red brick home. I do have my sign on my building.
Yes.
Yes. I live upstairs, so it is a home. It's a home to me. You know, when I walk downstairs, and my commute is very short, and sometimes I'm late. So we're there, and hopefully, too, you know, with growing the business, the plan is, you know, I can expand upstairs as well on the second floor
and maybe move somewhere away from work, because
that
might be a little much, being the pressure of like, I gotta
go. Work-life balance. Yes, but I think it's smart for me starting out to do this because, you know, my overhead cost is so much lower, so there's less risk, and, you know, I can handle the stairs right now, but you know, my toddler likes the stairs as well. But yeah, you know, about 2 to 3 years, I'm hoping to get a house down the street or around the corner, and then expand to the second floor for sure.
Well, you heard it here. You got to go visit Lana's home, Bow Plus Arrow, and really see what it's
just
like.
Just knock on the front door, that black door, no other door.
Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.